fever down in my soul, that alpha fever.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to First Impulse. I am Mike Richardson, a brother of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated via the Pi Upsilon Lambda chapter. And I am here with my big brother, Brother Tony Harris from the Pi Upsilon Lambda chapter, yeah. Former past president of the chapter.
Brother Richardson, thank you for having me this afternoon. I really do appreciate the opportunity.
Welcome. All right. So the reason why we're having this discussion today is because we are quickly approaching the 30th anniversary celebration of the chapter. This podcast was started as a way to reflect and in some ways look forward to the things that the chapter has done and will continue to do. And so Brother Harris was one of the ones who I worked through to actually get this project off the ground as part of his committee that he's working to celebrate and highlight the 30th anniversary celebration. So today we are talking about that celebration. We have some things in the queue that we want to highlight.
Absolutely.
All right. So, yeah. Brother Harris.
Yes, sir.
30 years is a good amount of time for chapters. I mean, you have chapters that are younger, chapters that are older. What type of things does a chapter need to make sure it maintains this type of longevity?
Well, I think the first thing any chapter needs to do is to adhere to the principles set forth by our jewels, our founders, and the national organization. That means carrying out the national programs, making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do in terms of service to the community, because that's what the fraternity is all about for the most part. And the second thing that the fraternity is all about is brotherhood, making sure that the bonds of the brothers within any chapter or throughout the organization as a whole are strong. Now that doesn't mean you're going to hang out with every brother in the chapter all the time and be chatting them up nonstop. It just means that, you know, when brothers have needs, that you take the opportunity to make sure that you try to support those brothers in any way that you can. And there are opportunities, you know, there are brothers who have bonded and, you know, have become good friends and do things together.
Yeah.
I personally go to football games with a few of the brothers from the chapter, in the fall. And I know other brothers who have those sort of strong bonds where they hang out and do things more on the regular as well. So I think service to community and brotherhood are the things that any chapter needs to do to maintain its livelihood.
Okay, so as we approach this 30th year, you've been in the fraternity and the chapter for a long time. So what are some of the things that you think or remember fondly about the chapter?
Oh, I've joined the chapter in 1999. I actually celebrated my 47th anniversary as the Brother of Alpha back in April. But there are a number of fond memories I have about the chapter. Things that I did in terms of being a director of education, in terms of setting up what I think is our first mentoring tutoring program back in the day at Largo High School, working with a woman by the name of Miss Wilhelmina Goff. I can recall finally going into her office and telling her the brothers in our chapter want to establish a program where we come in and mentor and tutor youth once a month. Mm-hmm. And she said to me very sternly, she said, you know, we need people here every week. Mm-hmm. And she was very firm about it, almost firm enough to say, you know, I looked at her and it was almost like I was talking to my mother. And, you know, when your mother tells you something, it's like, I said, okay, I got to go back to the chapter and say, you know, how am I going to explain this to him? But the brothers, again, like I said, stepped up to the plate and were very, you know, positive about the whole idea. And we went into the school every Saturday morning and we did tutoring and mentoring with students there. We mentored the male students once a month, and it has evolved into, I guess, what could be considered the YLDI program now. Those are one of the fond memories. Another memory I have has to do with the 100th anniversary in D.C. I served as vice chair of youth activities. So I was in a room with 216 of somebody else's kids for an entire week.
Okay.
But the brothers in the chapter, again, stepped up. You know, a lot of them volunteered their time and were away from the activities of the convention to assist me in that room. And when I say we were away, you know, we were away from anything else that was happening in the convention because we took kids out here and there. But, you know, I thank the brothers in the chapter. I can't thank them enough for that because, again, they gave up of their time when they could have been out enjoying the other activities of the Centennial Convention. That only happens once.
Right.
And then there are, you know, times when, you know, brothers were very supportive of me personally in terms of things that we were going through, you know, with medical issues in my family and whatnot. And the brothers were there to sort of lift me up and make sure that, you know, everything was good in our household. Those are among some of the things that I remember fondly in the chapter.
So the Pops and I named the chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Services, the Prince George's County, Maryland community. Mm-hmm. What would you say is unique about this community?
You know, obviously Prince George's County is one of the larger presences of African Americans in the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. I think we have a unique opportunity to serve with and serve as role models to young African American men, try to model behavior that we think African American man should represent in the community in terms of serving a community that is as diverse as it can be in terms of, and I'm talking about in terms of income levels and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We look at the young men who come through our various programs and, you know, we're dealing with unique needs and whatnot. And they look at us and say, hey, you know, if in fact these brothers can succeed and do well and share their knowledge with us, then maybe we can do that. I mean, I've had instances where, you know, I've run into young guys in grocery stores and other places in the community. I don't even have on any paraphernalia, but they're looking and saying, Mr. Harris, how are you? And they remember me from a tutoring program or some other program. So that's very rewarding to be able to say that, you know, hey, we did have some sort of impact on these people.
I love this. I love this county. I've grown up here. I've been here my whole life, practically. Mm-hmm. And just being able to serve this is a beautiful experience. So I'm happy to be doing it with the brothers of the fraternity. So you're the chair of the 30th Anniversary Committee, which is a special committee dedicated just to, it's a limited time frame dedicated to this year and the celebration. So as a committee chair, how did you approach the planning for this celebration?
Yeah, I'm the co-chair along with Brother Martrell Perry.
Martrell Perry, yeah.
And what we did was looked at what happened the 20th and 25th. You know, those two milestones provided a really strong template for what we wanted to do. We wanted to do things to serve the community, obviously, because that's what we do first and foremost, and to honor the history of the chapter and the brotherhood, and make sure that we had a celebration. So we began planning in earnest probably a little over a year ago. And that seems like a long time frame, but we're coming up on August 2023 pretty quickly now. And things are in motion in terms of some of the things that we have planned. I know you're going to talk with Brother Massey about Ice and White in particular, but we've also, Brother Paul Brown and Brother Dale Wright have updated various videos with the chapter presidents. But we've also expanded that and done some videos with other brothers in the chapter to, you know, reflect on their experiences of being part of PUL. I'm doing a written history project as well as the podcast we're doing now as part of that program. And you presented that idea to me. And, you know, not being as savvy with these sorts of things, I was a little reluctant at first. But we had further discussions about it. And I saw some things and I said, that seems like an excellent opportunity to get our word out to the chapter. One of the bigger things that we have planned is a service community project. We thought we were going to have a project that was closer to the actual anniversary date in August, but the opportunity came about. Brother Raymond Blackstone, who is one of the charter members of the chapter, came to us with a project, an organization called Kaboom. They provide play spaces in communities that are underserved in a lot of ways, and in communities of color in particular. They partner with community organizations, so that and Monumental Sports Entertainment and Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Pi Epsilon Lambda Chapter are going to be building a play space in Riverdale Park May 22nd through May 25th.
Yeah, through 25th, yeah.
And that will be what will serve as our 30th anniversary project. That's a pretty big project for us, so we're actually going to build this play space, and it will serve the people in that particular community. And it's important when you look at providing those sorts of opportunities for people to basically have an opportunity to play and work in the areas where they live. It's essential in terms of community development. So we're very honored to be part of that project.
Very much looking forward to that.
Oh, a couple of other things. We're planning a brotherhood toast on August 1st. That is the charter day for the chapter. And that will be held at the home of one of our chapter brothers. Brothers will have an opportunity to get together and toast and celebrate the chartering of Pi Epsilon Lambda chapter.
August 1st, 1993. So this is a big celebration for us. And I'm happy for you and all of the brothers who were here before me to keep this going so that I can get here and actually start to participate and contribute through this medium and through other efforts in the chapter.
Well, I can add on that and then say, you know, looking at brothers who are younger in the chapter and whatnot, we see those brothers coming in and stepping up and doing a number of things that sort of makes you understand, as someone who's been in the chapter as long as I have, and certainly for those brothers who are charter members, it sort of makes you feel good to know that the chapter is, that there's sort of successorship that's going along, and you feel like, you know, the chapter is going to be in good hands for years to come.
Well, that has a lot to do with the way that I've observed that the chapter does its succession plan. And so we were welcomed in with open arms, not just as brothers, but also onto important committees and to do committee work. And mm-hmm. So we were able to learn, I know myself, I was able to learn with my line brothers, how committee work is done mm-hmm. in the fraternity and specifically in this chapter. And so the training of the history and how work is done has helped us to continue the effort that you and the brother started before we even got here. So mm-hmm. we're being trained the entire way, and we are the trainer program. So we'll do the same and pass it forward.
Well, I think that's one of the unique things about Pi Epsilon Lambda chapter. I was in another chapter before I was in Pi Epsilon, another alumni chapter for a short period. And then I had a period where I was not active at all, but I was reclaimed in Pi Epsilon Lambda by one of our past presidents and one of my college brothers, Jeff Johnson. Mm-hmm. He asked me to come out to a meeting. And when I came out, brothers welcomed me with open arms. But the thing about Pi Epsilon Lambda that I think is different is that if you have an idea and, you know, if it costs anything, if you know how to pay for it, then you're not told basically, you know, sit on the back bench and wait your turn. Mm-hmm. You can jump right in and do the work, you know. And I had some ideas when I came in, and I was allowed to implement those ideas, you know. Like I said, just as long as you've got it all well thought out and understand, you know, if there's a cost involved, how are we going to pay for this?
Yeah.
But some chapters, like the one I was in before, basically they want you to sort of sit and watch and wait and whatnot, mm-hmm. but you can get to work right away in PUL, no problems.
I love it. So thank you for stopping by to talk about the 30th anniversary celebration, which is something that we're all looking forward to. I did want to mention a couple events that we have on the horizon in the near future. So May 27th, we have our annual Crab and Go, and we are in partnership with Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, mm-hmm. the Iota Gamma Omega chapter. We'll be not delivering, you can come pick up
your crabs.
Buy your crabs, you pick them up, and you go. That's the Crab and Go.
Large males, I understand they're going to be good.
Yeah, they number one males. Look, mm-hmm. the crabs are always delicious. They high quality, and we'll just have a good time. I mean, you don't have to just go. You can stop and talk, and we can have a good time. So that's May 27th.
Yeah, and that whole concept came about at the beginning of COVID, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
The whole idea of Crab and Go, because, you know, we wanted to do something to provide, you know, serve as a fundraiser for the chapter and whatnot. But obviously with COVID, people couldn't get together. So the idea came up, you know, well, you can pick up your crabs, put them in the back seat or the trunk of your car, and just keep on moving. But now we're in a situation where, you can stop and have some conversation.
And I encourage you to, because it's a good time. June 10th, we have the Men's Health Forum that's coming up at Reed Temple AME Church in Glendale, Maryland. That's an excellent event. We talked about that previously on the podcast with Brother Torrance Brown. It's finally here. Mm-hmm. It's in person for the first time in a couple years, and I'm looking forward to attending that in person.
Yeah, Brother Torrance Brown has done an excellent job with that particular program. That actually has become one of the chapter signature programs, mm-hmm. and I think it's one of those things that's very important, especially for African-American men, again, because we tend as men not to take care of ourselves as much, you know. Oh, I'm not gonna go to the doctor for that, you know. It'll be all right, you know, those sorts of things. But we need to actually pay more attention to our own health. And the thing I want to focus on in particular, not harp on it, but you know, there are mental health things as well. Yeah. That we, again, as African-American men, tend to just sort of push to the side and figure, you know, everything's going to be all right. We got to be tough. We can't be emotional about anything. We can't show ourselves. We need to let go of those thoughts and basically just sort of take care of ourselves.
Yeah. So this is Mental Health Month. So that is a great opportunity to come out and learn about, like you said, physical health, mental health, fiscal health, financial, then spiritual health. We're covering the gamut at that event. On June 17th, we have our annual, well, it should be our 15th annual
Christopher Riley Father's Day
Breakfast.
Yeah, Christopher Riley was a brother who came up with this idea for the Father's Day Breakfast, understanding that you know, Mother's Day is widely celebrated, but you know, at the time it seemed like, you know, Father's Day, yeah, you get that tie.
Oh, you
know,
can get a seat in a restaurant on Father's Day. Right?
Absolutely.
You don't have to wait.
But we wanted to show, again, like I said, that there are men out there who are doing great things in our community.
Yeah.
We have an opportunity. I think we have an essay contest that is tied to that. Brother Riley, unfortunately, died tragically at very young in life. So we honor him by naming that breakfast after him. And, you know, we're going to continue on that legacy in terms of that breakfast.
Okay. So look out for these events. We will continue to talk and celebrate as we lead up to the 30th anniversary celebration of the Pops and Lambda chapter. Thank you again, Brother Harris, for stopping by.
Brother Richardson, thank you for having me here today.
I am joined by my big brother, James Massey, the 13th president of Pi Upsilon Lambda. And he is here today to talk to us about more of our 30th anniversary celebrations, but specifically, we have an event that we want to talk about. But before we get there, Brother Massey, you were made in PUL, and you are one of two PUL-made past presidents.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah. So so I'm curious, what attracted you to the chapter?
Wow, what attracted me to the chapter? You know, thinking back on it, it's been 17 years I've been in PUL. And when I think back to it, it was certainly that the chapter led by showing what they do.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily who they were, but it was more about what they did and why they did it.
Okay.
Is what I felt like I was invited to learn more about. And, you know, you really saw brothers that, you know, believed in serving their community. They believed in doing things hands-on, not just like giving towards something, but literally doing the work, like working with the children or, you know, sitting side by side with parents to talk about, you know, education or going to college or those types of things. And, you know, I'm a believer in, you know, people can say certain things, but show me what you really believe by what you do. And I saw what they did.
Okay. So that was outside looking in. Once you became a member of the fraternity and this chapter, what did you discover that you understood that made this chapter special?
The thing that, that's a great question, that really stood out to me is that it was real. It wasn't something that was for show. It wasn't something that, you know, you want to put on a good show for everyone else, but people really believed in what they were doing. You know, and so that's kind of like that, like, see what I'm doing, but now come and understand the why about it. The other thing that really stood out to me about PUL specifically is that you felt automatically and from the very beginning that you were a part of it. You were, it was like a family, you know, it is a family. And, you know, over the years, that feeling has never changed. Like sometimes something could be fresh and new and it feels good because it's new. It's unexperienced. It's something you may not have felt before. It's been like that for 17 years.
Wow.
And, you know, we literally do life together. And I often share that with folks and folks say, what do you mean by that? We do life together. The ups, the downs, you celebrate. If it's something that's not good, you're there for each other, you know? And it's not just this one or that one, but it's everybody. And that's special.
Okay. So, well, you give me hope. So I appreciate that because I'm still young. I'm still young in the chapter. So I'm looking forward projecting 17 years in the future, hoping to have similar sentiments. So in your time as the 13th president of the chapter, what did you want to or end up focusing on during your your tenure?
So it was very interesting because when I was president, I was actually president during the, let's go back now, the 25th anniversary. And so this was around 2018 to 2020. And, you know, thinking about those years, there was a lot of things that were going on during those years. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really stood out to me that was very important to me during my presidency was making sure that we had the right tools and we were approaching the business of alpha in the way that we needed to. Like, we knew we could do great programs. We knew we could serve the community. We knew that we could, you know, do things in conjunction with others. But are we doing the business of alpha, like thinking about like paying our bills? Mm-hmm. You know, our chapter's always been great about making sure our bills are paid, but making sure that we're showing other brothers the why. Why is it important for us to make sure that our bills are paid first, yeah, before we even start the fraternal year? So we start off, you know, where we need to. So taking care of the business of alpha. And at that point, I remember one of the other things that was really important to me was our work with the foundation. And really shoring up that work, because I've always believed that as a chapter, we're very, very fortunate and blessed to have a charitable foundation. But to be able to understand what that connection really means, mm-hmm, how we can benefit the chapter, but how we also can benefit all the different communities, constituents that we serve by all being on one accord and supporting that foundation. Mm. That was really important to me. And I felt like We had this foundation, we were doing well, but it wasn't like a yin and yang type, okay, of thing with the chapter. And so at the time when I was president, Brother Frank Malone was also president of the foundation. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and we spent a lot of time together crafting an MOU between the chapter and the foundation that still is in existence today, mm, that really governed the work that we were doing. So not only were we able to really lay out the how, you know, but we also were able to identify the what. Mm-hmm. And in some of that, in ways that the chapter would be able to benefit from its relationship with the foundation, mm-hmm, but also ways that the foundation could be able to move its mission forward even further, you know, outside of just giving scholarships to students, to really be able to make a difference in the community. You know, there were things that, and the more I think about it now, wow, I didn't really put it together that way, but if we didn't do the work that we did prior to the pandemic, we may not have been positioned to do some of the great things we were able to do for the community that went far beyond seeing students go to college. We were feeding families, mm-hmm, at the height of the pandemic, because the mission and vision and the depth and breadth of the foundation's work was expanded and the chapter was there to support it through that MOU. Mm. So sometimes you just never know. You know, the work that you're doing that you might just think is good work to do, mm-hmm, you know, the theme was securing this house was my, yeah, theme during that first run. But it was really something that, again, not only for our house in terms of 652 for PUL, yeah, but how can we secure the house and also do something like feed families,
yeah,
during a pandemic?
So is that one of those things that you're most proud of? Or what are you, as you reflect, what are you most fond of during your time as president?
You know, the thing that I would say, I would definitely say that's something that just administratively very happy about and pleased. But the thing that I'm most happy about is just being able to serve the brothers. Mm. Like literally, just being able to serve the brothers. When you move into a position like president, and it's funny because we don't talk about it as much as we probably should. A lot of brothers say, oh, I'm going to be president. No, 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 no. It is one of the most selfless, mm-hmm, acts that you could do, and it's something that you get so much more out of it because of what you're putting into it. You're really just giving to the brothers, mm, you know, and in such an interesting way. Like a lot of people think, oh, it's a lot of work. Oh, I got so much more from brothers just in what I was able to learn about, mm, them, about myself, than I probably ever could have imagined, mm, you know. And so the thing that I would say I'm most proud of, it's just being able to serve. And you know, I counted that an honor to be able to serve brothers. It was a very interesting time. No one knew that we were going to go into a pandemic, but I remember that march and I remember some of the decisions that we had to make. And brothers were like, we don't know what to do. Mm. And you had to put your, you know, hat on and really kind of square up and say, okay, we're going to make some decisions. And we made some decisions that positioned the chapter very well in a very uncharted water situation. People don't know I love boats and anchors, so it was really like captain of my ship. We had to make some tough decisions, but we made decisions that, thankfully, looking back on it, put the chapter on a very safe place where we weren't fiscally, you know, either, you know, tied to different events or in positions where we couldn't make decisions. Mm-hmm. We made very sound and very deliberate decisions to protect the fiscal health even of the chapter, and also to protect, of course, the safety of brothers and families and such. Okay. And yeah, we made it. We made it.
I'm glad you did. So you served the Brotherhood as president, and you never stopped serving, because today you are here to discuss another effort that you're working on, Ice and White 3, which you are working with Brother Tony Harris, who we spoke to previously, to pull off this celebration. So for the people who don't know, what is Ice and White
3? Sure. We're celebrating 30 years of service to our community, and we're really excited about it. Ice and White actually was a concept that we developed, gosh, going back at the 20th anniversary. We wanted to do something that wasn't necessarily just your average ballroom gala or black and gold ball. For those that may not know the black and gold ball, it's more of a formal event, black tie, usually band and or DJ, but just, you know, formal gala where you're maybe honoring folks. We wanted to do something that was just a little different than that. And so we came up with this idea. As of course, PUL, we were founded in August of 1993, and it's hot, summer. And so we decided to do an all-white event. And our very first one was held at the Camelot, which I believe is no longer actually hosting events like that. But it was special because it was a well-known establishment in Prince George's County. And for our first event, we wanted to have about 200 folks, 2 1/4 or so. And we did it. It was a sellout event, great event. It had music. It was more cabaret style. People had a great time. We even had one of our brothers was actually the DJ for that event. Okay. So we said, let's just try it and see. And when we had that first Ice and White, literally people were asking, are you going to do it next year? Like, when's the next one? I want to come to the next one. And we decided not to make it an every year thing, even though it was very profitable, sellout event. We had a wait list. He said, you know, maybe we'll kind of hold on to this and see what happens over the next couple of years. So when the 25th anniversary came about, I did share it again. It was Ice and White 2. And at that event, still at the Camelot, but we took it up a notch. And we decided to have a 350-person event. Live DJ and band, great event. Another sellout, wonderful. Here we are at the 30th. People ask again, are you going to do it next year? No, we didn't. The brothers and in the conversations with the committee, we wanted to do something again, different. You always want to challenge yourself and try to think, what's that next level? And so this go around, we had a couple of outdoor events, of course, coming out of the pandemic. You know, some folks were concerned about indoor, outdoor still in the early stages of planning. A little different now. So we looked at some places that had indoor and outdoor arena. And then I said, well, there's one thing that we could do that might be a little bit different. If brothers are really game for something different. And so we went from 1, 2, 3 events, different venues, to a boat. And as soon as I pulled the picture up for the committee and the brothers that were in the beginning stages talking about it, they were like, a boat? They were like, a boat.
That's good. Yeah.
That's great. And so we played it out, but you know, we learned a lot and we're still learning a lot. It takes a lot to charter a boat, but we are so excited that we were able to secure our own charter for the Spirit of Baltimore. We'll be going out of the Baltimore Harbor and we have an entire boat for our guests to be able to enjoy themselves. And it is a midnight cruise.
Okay. All right. So midnight cruise. So let's talk about what our guests can expect on this midnight cruise.
Absolutely. They should expect a good night and a good time. We wanted to do something different than just a regular night cruise or dinner cruise. So this is a midnight cruise. We'll be boarding at 11:30. They'll be able to get onto the boat. There are reserved seats, tables if they'd like. But we have a DJ on every level. We'll have different music on each level. There are 3 levels to the Spirit of Baltimore. So folks can sit. They can grab a little light appetizers. They'll have, bartenders on each deck as well. Or they can go to the open air, the third deck, and just be able to enjoy the cruise. You know, so we wanted to have a little bit of something for everybody. But we want folks to be able to really just come and have a good time.
I'm looking forward to this. I didn't see the other one. So this one, this is my first experience. So I'm like, all right, let's go.
Absolutely. All right,
so for the people who want to come, yeah, which I hope is everyone listening to this and all of their friends and family, how can they secure passage on this ship?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's as easy as just going on Instagram. You know, we hope that you're already following us, but if not, just check us out at PUL1906. You'll be able to get all the details for it. Just so folks know, there's single boards, which are available at $100 per board. There's also the ability to reserve tables in 4, 6, 10. If you want 4 seats reserved, you'll have those seats reserved all night long. Mm-hmm. That'll be your table. There will also be open seating as well. So if you get a single board, or you and a couple of friends are coming, you're not sure if you want a table, there is open seating. Of course, you could be able to grab a seat, but those aren't guaranteed for the entire night, of course.
Yeah. You'll move at some point.
And the music's going to be going, so you better get up and move.
That's right. Ice and White 3, August 5th. I love that it's Mardi Gras on the water, which is appropriate for mm-hmm. the chapter being founded in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
So we're going to have a great time. Come out. Bring your people.
You can stay overnight if you want. We actually have rooms reserved at the Hyatt Regency Baltimore, which is just a few steps away from where we're going to board for the Spirit of Baltimore.
Okay.
We also will have rooms available at the Marriott, which is in the Inner Harbor, just up the harbor a little bit. So folks have their choice. Certainly would recommend the Hyatt Regency if you want to be a little bit closer. But if you're a Marriott guy like myself, you might want to be able to get your room at the Marriott as well. And we also are sharing with folks, you know, there's brunch spots, all types of places you can go within the harbor on that Sunday to make it a whole weekend.
So how would they access those blocks if they chose to stay at one of the accommodations?
Absolutely. If you go on to our Instagram at PUL1906, mm-hmm. you'll be able to see all the information there about accessing the blocks as well.
I'm hoping to see each and every one of you there. Ice and White 3, August 5th, 2023. Thank you, Brother Massey, for giving me some time today. I really appreciate any time I get to sit down with the brothers, and I love it. So, for First Impulse, I am Mike Richardson. Thank you again, Brother Massey.
Thank you, brother.